D-Mace Vingan and Donick 102.5. The Game, Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, and David Janes here with you. We hope you are having a wonderful start to your Tuesday. I want to give you guys a little behind the scenes of our show. I am usually the first to arrive. Well, David Janes is the first to arrive because he has things to do before the show. So, excluding David Janes, who is a very important part of the show. Without David Janes, we would not be on the air. I am the first of the three of us to arrive. I usually arrive 15 to 20 minutes early. Derek, he comes early too, sits in the car, usually comes into the studio 5 minutes before showtime. Willie Donick strolls in here right during the station ID. Willie sits down at 2:59:59. It's impressive. It's really impressive.
Well, usually I am in the parking lot before that. There are times where I'm in the parking lot at 2:59:03 and, you know, sprinting up the stairs. But most of the time, I'm safely in the lot by 2:55. But yeah, I've been known to cut it close a few times.
Hey, but that's your thing. Cutting it close.
Yeah.
Cutting it close, but being there on time.
Well, yeah, but Nashville traffic is probably not a good idea on some days.
Yeah, Nashville traffic. But I figured out their traffic pattern. I figured it out.
I think we got it figured out.
I would hope so.
I think I figured it out.
This isn't the time where you put Waze on your phone and it sent you in the complete opposite direction?
No, not this.
That was Willie.
He chose not to listen.
I got brainwashed.
Yeah, yeah. He was fighting the system. No, you were going along with the system, and you knew good and well that the system was wrong, but it's so ingrained in you to believe the system, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Even though you saw it like, man, I am supposed to be turning right there.
Exactly. I gave the system bad info.
See, that's what the system does. Yeah. It causes you to blame yourself in that situation.
That's right, that's right. And you say the system can't be wrong. So I got to go with the system.
But you knew.
I know. That was a bad day.
This is how.
Fortunately, today my plan worked, and I walked in right on time.
This is how.
Game time is on time.
I don't know if Eddie Fogler would have.
No, Eddie Fogler, that was not an Eddie Foglerism. Not at all. He was a bus rolls guy. He's like, if you're not on the bus, on my watch, not your watch, my watch, bus rolls.
And you're left behind.
This is how society crumbles, by the way.
Yeah, very true.
I just give myself over to the computer. This is how society crumbles. Don't praise the machine. All right. Clark Lee will join us at 4:00/clock. Did it again. 4:00 today as the Commodores prepare to take on Kentucky at home on Saturday. Vanderbilt was off this past weekend, so we'll catch up with Clark Lee at 4:00. Trevor Maddich, I did it again. I don't even try to do it. Trevor Maddich will join us at 4:40. Looking forward to talking to Trevor, as always. I am sure a lot of you are wondering or waiting to hear our conversation with Predators GM Barry Trotz, who normally joins us Tuesdays at 5. He will join us Thursday at 4. As we understand, Barry Trotz stayed in Europe after the team flew back from Stockholm, Sweden. So he is out of the country. But we have it locked down Thursday at 4 with Predators GM Barry Trotz. So we'll catch up with Barry Trotz in a couple of days as the Predators, they don't play again until Saturday. And a lot of people are wondering what's going to happen between now and then. We'll talk to Barry Trotz Thursday at 4 instead of today at 5. But let's start with a subject that we did not get to yesterday concerning the Tennessee Titans, and that is J.C. Latham. Derek, last week we had a conversation about which players outside of Cam Ward had the most to prove in the second half of the season. And both of us landed on J.C. Latham. We talked about other players as well, but J.C. Latham was at the top of our list. And then J.C. Latham goes out there on Sunday against Houston and commits 3 false start penalties. So, talking about the state of the roster and which players on this Titans roster can be part of the solution, you would hope that J.C. Latham would be one of those players, considering how high they drafted him a couple of years ago. But it's been a rough start for J.C. Latham this season. I know he dealt with an injury that cost him several games. But when you look at his numbers, they're not great. Pro Football Focus charges J.C. Latham with 6 sacks allowed, 1 quarterback hit, 7 hurries, and 14 pressures this season. By PFF's pass blocking efficiency rating, he ranks tied for 57th out of 79 qualified tackles. So things aren't going well for the whole team, but more specifically J.C. Latham. So this is the question we're going to start with today, 615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. What is our / your concern level for J.C. Latham based on how he's performed this season? Willie, why don't you start today?
Disappointing. He's a guy that's critical to building a roster up. And we're going to talk, I think, about the Panthers today. So there are different routes back from oblivion, which is where the Titans are right now. The Titans are at the bottom. And it is so important that you have some people you can lean on and build around. And so I think you can't say anything other than J.C. Latham has been an extreme disappointment. Health has something to do with it. I would imagine his numbers would be better had he not had the injury at the start of the year, which derailed him for a while. He didn't play for a while, and it can't be easy to come back and just pick up and play really well. But that being said, the 3 false starts on Sunday, alarming. I think I heard Teron say he thought he played pretty well. Other than that, that's a pretty good front that he's blocking. I really hope for his sake and for the Titans' sake, he can move in the right direction. There's still a lot of football to be played individually for him. If he could play 6-7 good games, he's still only 22. He is a young, young player. It's not time to throw it out. But I was hoping he would be better, especially already having moved to the right side. You were hoping that was going to help him have more success, and it really hasn't translated.
Well, I mean, he has regressed as a player. He would have an argument if indeed, you know, he was approaching it trying to make an excuse for himself. I'm sure he knows he needs to get better and at what areas he needs that to be accomplished. But, you know, you have your offensive lineman coach. You start on the left side. Then they put you on the right side. Then they fire your offensive line coach. Well, your offensive line coach resigns. But your first year, you didn't have that offensive line coach. So that would have been your second offensive line coach, I believe. Second, maybe third, but second at least offensive line coach. Now you're on your third and you've dealt with injury. So all of this ends up contributing to, you know, the way he's playing now. And now, granted, he has to play better. It seems like he's getting healthier. False starts has nothing to do with your ability to play the game. That's all a mental thing. That's all a discipline thing. So I'm not going to even, you know, compare or associate his false starts with his play. I know ultimately it does end up that way, but false starts has nothing to do with his ability to play the position as far as technique-wise. Again, false start is just a lack of attention to detail, a lack of concentration, because these are pre-snaps, mental mistakes, pre-snap penalties, and coaches hate them. But from a blocking standpoint, he's already given up 6 sacks. He gave up 7 all of last year. You know, his pressures are not where they need to be. And they're trending on, you know, being worse, you know, or somewhere around that same ballpark from last year. So it seems like because of his injury, he hasn't played as well, but I would have loved to see him had he been in there and not been injured and been there throughout the whole season. How much better would he have gotten, or would he have gotten worse? You know, because at the beginning of the season, was he bad? I think he was learning, just like everybody else, going from one position to the next. But then he gets injured. And then now you change his offensive line coach. So there's going to be probably a regression, but to me, he has to get better. And if he doesn't, then this is going to be another question mark going into the offseason.
So there is a stat that came out after the game about J.C. Latham, courtesy of the NFL. Quote, J.C. Latham held Will Anderson to zero pressures across 17 matchups in Week 11 while allowing just one pressure across his 26 other pass blocks, which sounds great. Drew Beatty, who provides film analysis for PaulKuharsky.com, brought up that stat, which he claims has a complete lack of context. He writes, quote, Tennessee gave Latham chip/guard help on almost every single true pass set in Week 11. By my count, Latham had only four matchups against Anderson without guard/chip help. So perhaps some added context to that number about J.C. Latham not giving up any pressures to Will Anderson, which, on paper, incredibly impressive. But as one texter says, Jeremy in Clarksville on our text line, Latham already failed at the position he was drafted for. Give him one more year to prove himself, then start looking elsewhere.
See, they can't do that. We talked yesterday extensively about the laundry list of needs for this roster. And honestly, you could get Buddy the Elf. You could get Santa. If you got that at the North Pole, those guys would be like, I don't know if I could do all this in one Christmas. I can't. Let's pare this list down a little bit.
I can get you two.
I can get a couple of these, but I don't know if I can get all these. So Latham, they can't look elsewhere. He's got to be the guy. He's got to be the guy. And he's young enough. I think those numbers that you just said, Adam, are somewhat encouraging. Will Anderson's a heck of a player, okay? That's a tough front. I think there's good football in him. I you see it in glimpses. It's just a matter of getting the reps, maturing, staying healthy, getting good coaching, getting other players around him. If he's a great right tackle, that's a pillar you can build on. I know it's not, the left tackle, but I'll take a great right tackle.
Yeah,
I still think he can get there. Skoronski, a lot of doubts
getting better
until this year, and I think he's taken a good step in year three.
It's not a bad thing that, you know, the coaches want to help you out at that position, because helping you out helps the team. So it's not a bad thing that he got chip help or he had a combination block. Because we've seen guys, even with a chip block, end up getting beat. We saw it last year a lot with Dillard and the year before that. So it's not like it can't still happen. They're just giving him a little help out on that side. What is ideal is, you have a stud left tackle, and with that right tackle, you can give help when need be when you're going up against a front like the Houston Texans. You can get help, especially if a guy is still acclimating himself, from an injury. And again, he needs to play better. There's no doubt. But there are circumstances to why, and it's not a bad thing that the Titans are choosing to help chip a guy on this side while their right tackle gets himself back in the groove of things. At least that's how I see it. But he needs to get better. I'm sure he understands that and knows that. But I'm not going to sit here and say, well, if he can't prove it the remainder of the season, we just need to go somewhere else. You can't make too many moves. Like Willie said, it's like, you're going to get rid of him, and he's still developing, to go get a guy, and you got to pay him, and he may not work. Then what do you –
it's right,
like,
that's the alternative.
Develop
you go get Dan
guys.
Moore.
Don't
or
be
you
scared
go get
to develop them.
Andre Dillard. You have to stay with the plan. He's young enough. I think he's just got to make it. Like, you've got to every day. If I'm Mike Borgonzi, if I'm Chad Brink, I'm telling the offensive line, I'm just like, make this guy a player. I'd go to him every day, say, JC, we need you. Got to have you. Let's build. He's a critical guy. He's a critical player.
Caleb on our text line says, regardless, this team cannot afford to spend another top two round pick on offensive line. They need guys who can score touchdowns and prevent touchdowns. Mm-hmm. If you want to replace Zeitler, then draft one later in draft or sign a guard in free agency.
And I don't even I mean, eventually Zeitler, this was only a one-year deal, so they're going to be looking for a guard anyway. And maybe those that's one of those deals where you hope that one of these young guys that are developing behind the scenes are able to step in and take hold of that position, because ultimately you want them to grow with your quarterback and the other skilled guys. But if not, then yeah, you're going to have to get one in free agency, either way, because I don't think Zeitler, I would be surprised if Zeitler is back for another season, at least here.
Right. It's a wishful thinking.
Yeah.
You think you get another year. You never know. Guy can play. But I think the callers, texter makes a good point. You can find a guard somewhere. If you draft well, which they haven't, you could get a guard in the third, fourth, fifth round who is the replacement for a guy like Zeitler. It's harder to find the tackle.
By the way, the Tennessee Titans have signed James Prochet from the practice squad to the active roster, and of course have placed Calvin Ridley on injured reserve. He's done for the season with a broken fibula. So for the Strep crew out there, the Strep bros.
Gotta wait another week.
Gotta wait. Somebody else, unfortunately, has to have a minor setback.
I was about to say, what will it take? Let's ask that question for fun. What will it take for Xavier Restrepo to be added to the active roster? Because at this moment, it seems like an act of God is what it's going to take.
I think he's going to be I think he will be activated before the season's over with. I do believe that. And I'm rooting for the young man. I hope he does come in and be a story. Because he can play the game. I understand that. But at what level can he play it? Can he be a starter? Can he be a backup? Can he be a special teams guy that you throw in there every once in a while? Can he be a transition guy? You know, you just kind of use across the board whenever you need to. Find out if he can play. Maybe they have and decided he's not ready yet. You know, it's a good thing that they kept him on a practice squad. So they want him to develop, and I would lean on the side of the way things have been going for the Titans and their injuries, and I hate to say it, I think he will be activated within the next 2 or 3 weeks.
You say it's going to happen.
Yeah.
He will play a regular season game.
I think he will
be activated. There's still 7 games left.
I think he will be activated.
It's a lot of football.
I didn't say he will play. I think he will be activated. Okay.
How many routes will Xavier Restrepo run in the regular season? Maybe that's a good question for Take It to the Bank one day. 615-737-1025. What is your level of concern for J.C. Latham? A tough game for Latham in the penalty department on Sunday. 3 false start penalties against the Texans. What is your level of concern for J.C. Latham? 615-737-1025. Coming up next, Derek wants to explore something involving another recent number one overall pick quarterback. We are going to see if there's anything we and the Titans can learn from what's happening in Carolina with Bryce Young. We will discuss that coming up next. 615-737-1025. Preds fans, Smashville Live returns tomorrow night at Brewhouse 100 in Bellevue at 6 o'clock. See your Predator star players up close and personal. You can also get autographs and pictures. The guest tomorrow night, Ryan O'Reilly. So that's Ryan O'Reilly tomorrow night at Brewhouse 100 in Bellevue, and only on 102.5 The Game. D-Maze, Finnegan and Donick, 102.5 The Game. We are presented by Bax Homeworks. Remodeling done right. Get a free estimate now at baxhomeworks.com. Derek, over the weekend, you were wondering about something. You were wondering about the Carolina Panthers, which, to be honest, is not something I wonder too much about. I do root for a team in the NFC South, but I don't spend a lot of time worrying about the Carolina Panthers. But your point was, by the way, the Panthers defeated the Falcons on Sunday. Bryce Young, nearly 450 yards passing and 3 touchdowns. The Panthers are somehow 6-5. And in the NFC wild card race, the Panthers, by the way, have won, excuse me, they did win 7 games over the previous 2 seasons combined. So 6-5 this season. But you were wondering about it from the aspect of Bryce Young and Cam Ward. Mm-hmm. 2 quarterbacks drafted number 1 overall. Cam Ward so far this season has been a disappointment. Mm-hmm. Bryce Young's career has been a roller coaster. You may recall Young was benched for 5 games last season for Andy Dalton. And the only reason Bryce Young got back into the lineup was because Andy Dalton sprained his thumb in a car accident. That's the only reason why Bryce Young got a second chance. But he did play better after returning to the starting lineup for the Carolina Panthers. So the question that you wanted us to discuss was, are there any things that we can learn or the Titans can learn from Bryce Young and how the Panthers have handled Bryce Young?
Yeah, because I think both teams at one point were in the same position were in the same position. The Titans are currently in that position, and the Carolina Panthers, it's not like they completely dug themselves out and they're on level footing. No, they still have some digging out to do as well. But if you look at, you know, the similarities, you know, there are many around the football circles that believed, you know, that the Carolina Panthers were a bad organization. There are people that believe the Titans are a bad organization. Both, you know, believe that the rosters were bad, and both believe that maybe the number one guy was the wrong guy or is the wrong guy. So those are those similarities. And when you start to look at Carolina, it's like it's been 6-7 coaches in just about that many years, or 7 coaches in so many years.
Well, the Panthers have had that many
coaches.
Yeah,
the Panthers, that's what I'm talking about. It has been, it's been an interim coach, but still they've changed the name on the label as head coach 7 different times in so many years.
Bryce Young has only had 2 full-time head coaches.
Exactly. So the lack of stability was there. And people feel there's a lack of stability here with the Tennessee Titans. But I think what the Carolina Panthers did, I think they understood it. A lot of people made a lot of fuss, and a lot of people weren't in agreement with it. But the minute they traded away McCaffrey, it started a rebuild. And I think everybody knew that. And then they traded away DJ. I think it was DJ Moore. They traded away DJ Moore.
DJ Moore was part of the package that the Panthers
receive. Or no,
the Panthers gave up to
the Panthers traded DJ Moore as part of the package to move up to draft Bryce Young.
Exactly. So they're doing all these things, showing everybody that this is a rebuild. So you get your quarterback, and nothing is going right, and the quarterback's not able to develop in the system or in this environment. So they finally land on one coach, and it seems like now he's getting a footing on what the NFL is like. And if you just want to go by numbers, I think each year he's played. Now, granted, there's only been one season he's played 16 games, 23, I think it was 17 games. So basically he's missed at least one game every season. His first year was 16 games he played. And the numbers were, I mean, he completed under 60%, 2,800 yards, 11 touchdowns, 10 interceptions. That's a rookie year, and it was bad. But each year after that, if you look at his numbers based upon – you know, the games he played, he has gotten better as a quarterback. Like, his completion rating went up. Now, it could have been a part of the design of the offense and him having to take short things. But you're getting him in a rhythm. So his completion rating goes up. If you just look at it, if he had 2 or 3 more games, he would have surpassed the season before in yardage. He got the interceptions down all while the touchdowns went up. And then this year now, he's only played 10 games, and he has close to 2,000 yards, just barely under 2,000. He's on his way to break his touchdown record already. He has 14. His previous high was 15, and he's cutting down on his interceptions. He has 7. Now they have games to go, but there are things that you can look at and say he's getting better. If you're just looking at the numbers, then that's what people do. Look at the numbers. He's getting better. So what is it that the Carolina Panthers did that allowed their quarterback to continue to, because he's developing. He's developing within that system.
He's developing, yeah. But I think here's the scary part.
But you just got to add more people around him, and that's what they're trying to do. Maybe they went out and got him a big wide receiver.
That will help.
Who's key for him now.
The Panthers' past two first-round draft picks have been wide receivers, Xavier Leggett and Ted McMillan. And it also helps that Rico Dowdle came out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. He wasn't even the starting running back for the Panthers at the start of the season. That was Chuba Hubbard. Chuba Hubbard goes down, and Dowdle just goes nuts. So that helps. Looking at the Panthers, Willie.
The sacks are down tremendously.
6-5. 6-5. And I'm like, how is this team 6-5? They don't score many points. Their defense is top half of the league in terms of scoring defense. But to the point.
I wonder where they are at in penalties.
That's a good question. But we're trying to draw parallels here. Are there parallels for how the Panthers have handled Bryce Young that have allowed him to dust himself off and regain his starting position? Are there any parallels between the ups and downs of Bryce Young and maybe what the Titans could face in Cam Ward?
Well, let's start with the parallel, because Carolina, it's a nice story. They're 6-5. And I think we were all curious, what are they doing? Because when we looked a little closer, look, they gave up a lot to get Bryce Young. At least the Titans, they earned the first pick by being terrible. Mm-hmm. The Panthers gave up DJ Moore and other assets, big assets, to get Bryce Young.
And keep this in mind as well. Here is something that the Titans should not take from the Carolina Panthers. The Panthers got 4 picks for trading Christian McCaffrey.
That was
a second round pick, a third round pick, a fourth round pick, and a fifth round pick. And the Panthers really didn't do anything with all of that draft capital. Now, some of it went to the Bears to move up, but outside of that, they didn't make their team exponentially better with the trade package they received for Christian McCaffrey, 3 years ago?
And those two big moves, I mean, those are big moves, trading Christian McCaffrey and then trading for the first pick. And looking at what Bryce Young has done, I still don't know how they're 6-5, honestly.
And you and me both.
But let's really get to the guts of this. If Cam Ward is putting up the numbers that Bryce Young is putting up in his third year, there's going to be a lot of disappointment in how Cam Ward is doing. I grant you, mm-hmm. Derek, he is getting better. He couldn't be much worse.
Yeah.
And he had a bad team around him. A bad team. And that, it's hard to do well on a bad team. But when you're the first, this is, again, the crux of the decision that they made when they chose Cam Ward. He wasn't off the charts, the hands down Andrew Luck. Pick whoever you thought was the best, can't miss. He wasn't in that category.
There's not many people that are in that category.
That's right. And so the risk of doing that, you see what Carolina's dealing with. They're excited to be 6-5. Mm-hmm. I don't know that they're for real. His numbers are not good.
They're not great, but they're better than what they have.
He's the first pick in the draft.
But as long as he's developing.
You've got to have more. I'm usually not that guy. I don't overreact. Mm-hmm. I was as realistic as anybody saying, look, I don't care if you're the first pick or the fifth pick, or the seventh pick, usually it doesn't work as well as you think it's going to.
And Bryce Young.
Everybody has an image mm-hmm. of what a high first-round pick is going to be, and they're all over the spectrum. But Bryce Young is below average.
And he had
below average
the pedigree
in
college.
Year.
He had the pedigree in college, which Cam Ward didn't. Bryce Young won a Heisman Trophy. Bryce Young was part of a national championship team.
That has nothing to do with anything. I mean, once you get in this league, that stuff... Yeah, because I've seen a lot of quarterbacks that have had the pedigree and have won championships. When they get in the NFL, it's just a failure for whatever reason. I don't know. But is it they find out they can't play at that level that they need to play at in order to be a starting quarterback. So I understand. And listen, I don't claim to know where Carolina has been or where they're going. I'm just following
because the nobody numbers. Watches
them. I'm just following. I'm following the
when
numbers.
When is the last time you watched the Panthers?
It's been, last week when they were playing and the game went to overtime.
I usually watch the Panthers twice a season because they play the Saints.
Exactly. Yeah. So at least,
but that's about it.
But I think
about them then, and then I don't think about them.
I'm exaggerating.
And then I don't think about
them.
We all
see highlights and everything.
Yeah, but it's
we don't watch them.
Where do they think that they are at right now? Because I don't think many people envision them winning 6 games right now. No way. Know how nobody can sit there and say
it's a nice story.
So they're winning despite the quarterback not being what many believe he should be. But if you look at and here we go, it's if you just look at the numbers, the most important things he's getting better at not turning the football over and not getting sacked.
Right, but he's gone from an F to about a C or C plus.
Well, I could take that, and maybe next year he'll be a B and then an A. So I could take that if I'm seeing progression.
The Panthers are going to have to decide if they even want to
keep
Bryce Young.
But they're having to show a lot of patience. He lost his job in the middle of this, as Adam pointed out. If that's the track for Cam Ward, you can imagine the howling that you're going to hear in this city. I don't know what they perceive of Bryce Young in Carolina. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're as relevant as they've been in a good while, so there's got to be some optimism. But it's another case. Remember, the big rap on him is, historically, there's not many quarterbacks, 5'10", 204, that turn into stars. And yet they said, he's special, he's worth the first pick. And so there's usually flaws with guys. You know, other than those guys who come around once every, say, 6 to 10 years that seem to have everything. Caleb Williams might have had all the lights light up, and we see how he's not a smooth, you know, going into superstardom, although he's made a nice jump. But these are all things to watch, I think, for Cam Ward. But I do think it's a really interesting case study just to look afar and say, what's going on with Bryce Young? Because he's the first pick in the draft.
By the way, Bryce Young this season, 23rd in QBR, at 45.8, sandwiched between Joe Flacco and Kyler Murray. 615-737-1025. We'll take your thoughts on Cam Ward. Any parallels between Bryce Young and Cam Ward? Any lessons the Titans can take from the Carolina Panthers, who have been a surprising success so far this season? Again, I don't know how the hell the Panthers are 6-5. 615-737-1025. We'll take your reaction. Coming up next, Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan. We are broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 102.5 The Game. I just had to groove out to Shania Twain for just a moment.
I was about to say. I'm sorry. I didn't know.
You're not a Shania fan?
I'm not saying that I'm not a Shania fan, but I'm not going to claim to know all her music.
Can you imagine Derek Mason at a Shania Twain concert?
I mean,
any man of mine, D-Mace is just going
crazy.
I'm
sure she has some songs that I've grooved to before.
She was the hot thing, what, 20? That was like 20-ish years ago, I want to say.
Might be a little more. It was while D-Mace was playing.
Yeah, so.
D-Mace's prime might have been Shania's prime. It's right in there.
My prime.
I mean, your prime was longer than her prime. I got to say that.
D-Mace is still in prime.
Shania Twain was like a 6-year run.
Yeah, I think
D-Mace
so.
More I of knew a 10, her 12, name, like, 10, 12-year run. You know?
I knew the name.
And, yeah, yeah. She was A-list for a while.
I did see Shania Twain at the height of her popularity, and I think that may be the only country music concert I've ever been to.
Yeah, you went to
really?
Shania
so what
Twain
drew
concert?
You to her?
Exactly.
My parents.
Oh, wow.
My parents wanted to see Shania Twain.
Oh, okay.
So would you go see Shania Twain again right now? And she did some of her old hits? I don't know if she has new hits. She probably does. I'm not going to
Shania Twain seems like one of those artists that's doing a residency in Las Vegas.
That'd
and if I
cool.
happened to be there, I'd be like, yeah.
Let me go see her.
Go for it.
I don't know. Like, that is a funny reference. I think that's probably right. Prime for, like, a Vegas run. That's
yeah,
good.
Ain't nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
If I was in Vegas, I'd be like, hey, Shania Twain, let's go. I'll go see her. I know she
did.
Has something.
She did a Vegas residency.
Ah, see?
So, it's not happening anymore.
Hey, you think Shania can sell out, you know, Bridgetown?
Yeah.
Oh, come
go.
On. That's not
absolutely.
Even a question.
Absolutely. Well, she needs to be back out, torn. So Bridgestone can set it out. There you go. That's my plug for Shania Twain, wherever she's at.
Okay, let's put Shania Twain to the side. That was a fun little Shania Twain sidebar. Let's focus on Cam Ward, and we're talking about Bryce Young. And the reason why we're talking about the two quarterbacks, other than the fact they were both drafted number one overall, is because Derek watched the Carolina Panthers over the weekend defeat the Atlanta Falcons to somehow improve to 6-5, and Bryce Young had a fabulous game. 448 passing yards, 3 touchdowns. By the way, Bryce Young has thrown for 150 or fewer yards in 5 starts this season. So what you saw on Sunday, if you watched that game, was a total outlier. But the question that Derek wanted us to discuss was, are there any parallels between what the Panthers are dealing with Bryce Young and what the Titans are dealing with Cam Ward? Now, Bryce Young is further along in his career. Again, he was benched last season for 5 games for Andy Dalton. At some point soon, the Panthers are going to have to decide whether they want to pick up Young's 5th-year option. You're getting to that point already. Cam Ward far off from that. But the one thing about Bryce Young was he was left for dead. And Cam Ward has been disappointing without looking at the numbers. When Bryce Young struggled, he struggled. He was below the depths, as far as you could go down. And yet, this season, he's played okay. But still,
Cam Ward, if you compare his numbers to Bryce Young's rookie numbers, it's not that far off when you look at the numbers. Now, I didn't watch Bryce Young, and I think when we watch Cam Ward every week, you see things that you say, okay, can build off of that. Mm-hmm. Need to see more. But the numbers aren't that different when you look at QBR and DVOA, and that's the metric that I look at with the analytics site that I've always subscribed to, FTS Fantasy. So that's kind of my reference point. But all of those numbers, they're awful. There's no way around it, right? You're hoping to see things, and you know the roster around him is extremely flawed. And that was the case with Bryce Young as well. So I think he's going to get better. Cam Ward is going to continue to get better. But I think this is the question is, would you be satisfied in 2 years? I mean, heck, 6-5 looks great, right? 6-5, even with, you know, okay, below average numbers, that'd still be way, way better than it is now. So it's all relative.
So he's on pace, 17 games, the average 195 yards a game. He's on pace for, what, 3,000 yards? Cam Ward. Well, no, it's not that many. It's probably like 20-something 100 yards, somewhere around there, close to 3,000. And say if he, you know, ends up 12 touchdowns and 12 interceptions, I do think the completion percentage needs to come up, and I think they're helping him with that.
His per 17 game average based on his current yardage, 3,322 yards.
So he'd be 3,000 yards, say 13, 14 touchdowns, 8 interceptions.
And we know it's not about those rates numbers. Like, you have to look beyond those numbers.
And I know it's beyond that, but you can look at those numbers and say, well, with a bad roster, bad individuals around him, you know, players around him that hasn't developed yet, and I mean Elik and DK and Gunner, guys that you believe will develop, and some veteran guys that just didn't pan out, whether it was Lockin and they traded him away, or Calvin because he's been hurt. So you mesh all of that in, and you say, man, this kid still ended up with, you know, these numbers. I know they're not great, but did he develop more and more each and every game during that period? And if the question is yes, then you can only sort of come up with, okay, if we add more players around him, then maybe we give him a better opportunity to succeed, you know? And that can't happen if you don't, you know, put the right head coach in place with the coordinator and then surround him with the right players.
One thing that I read today that was interesting, it had nothing to do with the Titans. It was actually about J.J. McCarthy. Alec Lewis.
See, that's another guy
yes.
that they made a big decision to keep him, and let Sam Darnold go. The story's well told, right? He had an ACL, but they said he's going to be all right. He is struggling mightily as well. These are all great trackers to watch, right? It just shows you how hard it is to find the guy.
Alec Lewis, who reports on the Minnesota Vikings for The Athletic, wrote a story that was published this morning with the headline, "Can Vikings quarterback J.J. McCarthy eventually turn it around, a la Panthers quarterback Bryce Young?" It was an interesting story. Alec Lewis interviewed Adam Thielen, who is back with the Vikings, but Adam Thielen did play for Bryce Young, or with Bryce Young, and for the Carolina Panthers early in Young's career. There was one passage at the end of the story that stood out to me. Alec Lewis writes, quote, "What allowed Young to click into gear? How did the Panthers' offense go from one of the league's worst with him at the helm to a respectable operation? Their staff and locker room, unburdened by internal or external expectations, stuck with the process. It guaranteed nothing, but it gave him the best chance to succeed." And I think that can be applied to Cam Ward as well.
And McCarthy still hasn't played many games when you get down to it. Yeah. He's only, you know, he got hurt. Last year, he basically didn't play. This year, he got hurt, and he's only played 5 games. The numbers aren't good. But it's disappointing, right? If you were the Vikings, you had the season they had last year, and they put all their eggs in his basket, you can't be happy with how it's
going. No, you're not, because his situation isn't Bryce Young's situation. His situation isn't Cam Ward's, or his situation isn't Drake May's situation when they first came in. You're coming in with the best wide receiver in the game. You got Addison. You got Hockenson. You got an offense that showed last year.
Your numbers should not be like this with those guys.
They can go. Yeah. And that's why it's like, okay, is he the guy? And I'm not saying he's not. But, see, every quarterback is sort of – you can look at every quarterback in their situation and sort of end up forming your own sort of opinion on how that player should or shouldn't be based on who's around him. You look at, J.J. McCarthy. Well, what if Bryce Young had J.J. McCarthy's weapons? What if Cam Ward had J.J. McCarthy's weapons? Would they be better quarterbacks? We don't know. We know that J.J. McCarthy has those weapons, and he's not developing the way they want him to. I know that Cam and Bryce didn't. Bryce now has a legitimate wide receiver, at least they feel, and Tet McMillan, a big body guy, so he doesn't have to throw perfect footballs being 5'10 and trying to see over the line of scrimmage. The catch radius is large. So they are adding weapons to that team to help him out. And that's where I say the Titans, like, this year they need to get a bona fide number one receiver. They just need to do it. They need to say, you know what, the way this game is going, we need to get us a number one guy. And if that means moving out of that spot and not taking the best defensive player, then so be it. I know we got to get sacks, but this game is about scoring points. And we can't score points. You know, we can try to generate – we've seen that we can generate sacks. If we need it, some young guys are starting to come on. Hopefully that stays that way. But we haven't shown the ability to consistently score points. So if that's the case, that's my first priority, is to get guys in here that are going to make plays for me.
Let's go to our friend Mark from Nashville on our phone line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com. What's up, Mark? Go ahead.
Hey, how you doing, Adam? What's up, D-Mace? Willie?
What up?
Yeah, how y'all doing?
Good.
Hey, I heard y'all talking about Bryce Young. Well, the reason Bryce Young is getting better, man, because they build an offense around him. Like D-May said, they added Tank McMillan and stuff. They're trading back. They're drafting pieces, and they're drafting playmakers to advance Bryce and get him to be a better quarterback. Plus, he's got a great offensive-minded coach, a coach that should have been here in Nashville, who they should have called Dave Canales. Came from Tampa Bay, Todd Bowles. He should have had an opportunity to come here, especially coach a guy like Cam Ward. But until the Titans do what Carolina has done and make good draft choices and get number one guys and playmakers and stuff, Cam's had a good year, D-Mace. He's going to end up having a pretty decent year. Next year, I think he can have a better year. But like you said, they're going to have to get a number one wide receiver and maybe get another wide receiver through free agency or in the draft or whatever, whatnot, in the lower round, to advance that offense and make it where Cam will be even a better quarterback. He can go through his reads, progression. He can improve a lot of stuff during the offseason, come back and be a better quarterback. I think that's what'll work with Cam Ward and stuff. Hey, Adam. How you doing, man?
I'm good, Mark. How are you?
I'm doing okay. I did call your name first, Adam. I know D-Mate, he likes to get on me sometimes. You forgot about Adam. No, I ain't gonna forget about Adam. I think about Adam all the time. You motivate me, Adam. You really do. You motivate me.
I appreciate that. I'm just trying to make you a better version of yourself every single day.
All right, but see, Adam, it's gonna be that way anyway. You're gonna get my best version anyway. Yeah.
All right,
but
Mark.
You motivated me. And D-May's answer, hey Willie, how you doing, man?
I'm good, man. I'm good, Mark.
Okay then. Oh, well, hey man, as always, the king, the closer, whatever you wanna call me. Best day is in Nashville, unforgettable. They all listening. Y'all have a good day, man.
Thank you, Mark.
Always
appreciate
a pleasure to hear from Mark.
The check-in from Mark.
Yeah. So Mark, hey, Mark. Mark knows what he's talking about. He's listening.
Look,
that's the good
Mark.
Thing. He's
Mark
listening.
Claims that I motivate him. I think Mark would make a great motivational
speaker. No doubt. He'd be my hype man. That's a hype man right there.
Absolutely.
Hype person, whatever you want to say. But I mean, and I'm not saying that, you know, Bryce Young he's going to turn into this elite quarterback. But what I'm saying is, it seems like they're dedicated to putting people around him and hopefully sticking with the plan. And if ultimately it doesn't work out with him, at least you're building the team. That's what the Indianapolis Colts found out. Like, it may not work out with the quarterback, you know, we drafted, but we're building the team. So whoever we put in that place, a veteran guy, he can take the holes and run with it.
615-737-1025 will take your thoughts on the Titans. But coming up next, Vanderbilt head football coach Clark Lee will join us. The Commodores back in action this weekend against Kentucky, and yet another big game for the Commodores. So we will catch up with Clark Lee coming up next. Also, be listening in the 4 o'clock hour because we do have tickets to give away. We have a 4-pack of tickets to AEW Dynamite in Collision at the Pinnacle next Wednesday, November 26th. So be listening in the 4 o'clock hour for your chance to win a 4-pack of tickets to see AEW Dynamite and Collision next Wednesday at the Pinnacle downtown. Clark Lee joins us next, 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game.